In the Word of God, found in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning at verse 23, the Bible reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Supporting scripture coming from the 34th Psalms, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." As you ponder over those scriptures, I wonder how many of you have ever used the old saying, when you run into somebody unexpectedly in different places more than one time, and there are times that you might find yourself saying that we got to stop meeting like this. Anybody in here ever said that? We got to stop meeting like this. Now, what I need you to understand this morning is that in this place, we come prayerfully on a regular basis, but there are some that come here and there and when they want to come. And then there are those that come every now and then. But every time you come, you're going to see somebody that you've seen before. And maybe somebody that you've never even seen in your life. But since it's God's will that we assemble ourselves, when we come into the house of God on the basis of what God said in his word, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. In that, I get this. If you would take your neighbor's hand and look at them and repeat these words: we got to keep on, meeting like this. We got to keep on meeting like this. Give honor to God this morning. We thank God for the choir this morning, lifting up their voices to Jesus. We thank God for you, the people of God, that have come to praise and magnify and lift up his holy name. And I don't believe that it's by accident that you're here this morning. You're here because something touched your mind. And in your mind, you decided that I'm going to go over by Faust Chapel. And after coming, I want you to know that there is a word from the Lord. For I find that there is no other way than any of us could live without the Lord. We have heard and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that right here in our small community that the death train has been on the rampage and sickness is all over our town. But even in the midst of all of that, God is still worthy to be praised. How many of you understand that there is never a time when we ought not have a mind to praise the Lord our God? Because even when you're at your lowest point, there still ought to be a praise somewhere. That there comes a time that you ought to have a hallelujah anyhow praise, that I don't care what I'm going through, I'm going to praise God anyhow. And I believe there's somebody in here this morning that realized that I got some things that I'm working on. I got some things that I'm waiting on God on, but I'm going to hold on and hold out. Because I trust a God that never left me, that has promised me that he'd always be right there. And I'm a believer in that this morning, that God is always true to his word. God blesses us and keeps us, and we ought to be grateful just to be able to come into the house of worship one more time and to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. We ought not come just to look at one another. We ought not come to sort of to see who came and who didn't come, but we ought to come to get a blessing. You're already blessed when you got up this morning. And even if you didn't even take time out to tell God thank you, God blessed you anyhow. That there's some folk that got up out of the bed and took the shower and got their clothes on and rushed on out of the door and got here and forgot to tell God thank you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Just tell God thank you. That don't you feel a little bit better? Every time you tell God thank you, it makes you feel a little bit better. You ought to try it sometime. Just telling God thank you. You don't have to get things all the time to tell God thank you. Just to wake up and know that you're still alive, that's enough to tell God thank you. Too many of us are waiting on these miraculous blessings that are just going to drop out of the sky and make us rich and make us all of that. But how many of you know that you can have nothing and still have everything? In fact, I just told a sister of mine yesterday, I said, I don't have anything and I got everything. Because when you got Jesus, you got everything that you need. You got something, Charles, that you don't even know you got, because there's something God don't reveal unto you until you actually need it. That's why we're able to say God, it comes in his own time. He may not come when you want him, but he comes on time. And I know him to be an on-time God this morning. I thank God this morning because as we move and continue, God has blessed us. And even in the midst of our loss, we still are trusting a mighty God. Life itself is so precious, and yet it is so unpredictable that we have no way of knowing what to expect next. But those that believe in a higher power, to those who know that there is a high priest who is over this house of God, how many of you got to understand and you got to really know that I am the pastor, but I'm not the leader of the house. The leader of the house is the high priest. The leader of the house is the one that made all of us from the dust of the ground. And every time you get the big head and begin to think you all of that, every now and again, God need to knock you down so you can realize just how vulnerable you are and how dependent you are on the power of a mighty God. Every time everything come out of your mouth, I did this, I want this, I want that, you need to check yourself. Because it's not about you all the time. What about your neighbor? What about that other person sitting beside you? Even what about your enemy? Your enemy needs something just like you do. If nothing else, they need some love down on the inside. They need an understanding mind to know that there's some things that you just got to learn how to let go of. We're not here on our own accord. We only here by the mercy and the grace of God. And we are here because God has blessed us. As the people of God, we that have become members of this great household of faith, this great establishment called the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church, where we declare everybody to be somebody. And today we celebrate 80 years in Christian service. Hallelujah, Jesus. 80 years in Christian service. We ought to pause long enough to thank God for his faithfulness, for taking care of us, for providing for us, and for protecting us in all aspects of our life. God has been right there. God was there when we didn't have nothing, and God was there when we got a little bit. And even though you don't have much, God is still there. But anything that we need, God has the resources. So we are still trusting and believing in the power of a mighty God. His last commandment he gave when he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. As a church family, we are to love and encourage one another. Love one another to do good deeds. Love one another and try to have an understanding that we may not do everything the same way, but there ought to be a time when we can get on one accord. In order for us to have a oneness, we got to consult the power of a mighty God. As we celebrate our church anniversary, it should be a high and a holy day. As we reflect back on the past, the present, and even on our future. Singing with a loud voice, we have come this far by faith. Hallelujah, Jesus. 80 years coming by faith. And all of us ought to be able to say, oh God, how great is thy faithfulness. We have come to continue to trust and believe in the power of a mighty God. We know that his promises are true. We know that the same faith that brought us this far will carry us on farther. It's because of his grace and his mercy. It's because of his goodness. It's because he looked beyond our fault and saw a need to bless us. As we, the people of Fowl's Chapel, reflect lightly on our history, the spirit of the Almighty God, we find that the Reverend J.L. Fowles, a native of Winston-Salem, stepped out on faith along with a few of God's believing children. And he came to Lexington, North Carolina, and changed what was the Colored Holiness Church to the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church. You ought to know where you come from so that you can get an idea of where you're trying to go. So in those 80 years, Reverend Fowles started the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church and did all that he could do. Now, to my understanding, Reverend White came along next, and he continued to build on the principles of God and to rule and govern the people of God in the way that God saw fit. And then, by the grace of a mighty God, by way of Alabama, God sent us the Reverend Dr. F.D. Betts. Hallelujah, Jesus. Reverend Betts carried us to heights unknown with his dynamic style of preaching and his charm and his charisma and his spiritual power, his theological intellect. And he was just a theologian in his own right. He was a man that loved God and he loved the people of God. He was not only our pastor, but we found Dr. Betts to be the community pastor. And you wonder why we are the community church is because the foundation had been laid even before I got on board that we were going to be a community church where everybody is somebody and any and everybody is welcome to come into the house of God. I thank God for the pastor that I served upon the, and then God gave me the awesome task to have to come in behind a man like Dr. F.D. Betts. But I thank God for my calling. I thank God for the challenge. I thank God for the thing that he had put in place. And I took the baton from Dr. Betts, and we've been running on ever since. And after I'm dead and gone, or whatever the case may be, there's going to be another man or woman of God that's going to stand and say, to God be the glory for the thing that he had done, and carry this church on to higher heights. We got to understand that it's not over. It's just beginning. How many of you know that the best is yet still to come? You ought to praise the Lord like you are a child of God. If God had blessed us for 80 long years, how can we sit down on God this morning? God done brought us too far. Grandmas and great-grandmas and grandpas have died and labored in this vineyard so that we'd have a right to come somewhere and look at what God has given us. We got a lot to be thankful for this morning. Thank you, God. Just to have a mind to keep this household of faith going. We love God. We were taught by our adults to love God. It is our hope that this church will sustain and that some of our children will become the working adults in this household of faith. I always remember some of our loved ones that have passed on, and as we visit them, they always share, and they are so thankful that they see the children that they saw and planted seeds running the church now. If you have been one of those that have prayed for us and have nurtured us and groomed us for the positions that we hold now, then it gives you joy to see us at work doing what thus said the Lord our God. Isn't it a good thing to see what you put your hands on to just get up and do what God would have him or her to do? We got so much to be thankful for because we serve a passionate and caring God. That same God, when Jesus said that thou art Peter and upon this rock, I will build my church. And then the Bible declared that the very gates of hell should not prevail against it. Jesus himself stands as the head corner of the church. Now, understand what the church is. A church is a local assembly of believers, redeemed of all ages who follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. A local congregation of believers who follow Jesus without respect of locality or time. You don't have to have a certain time to praise God. You know, we got a certain time. We have out on the marquee that worship service starts at 11 o'clock, but we can start praising God anytime. We don't have to come to the house of God to praise God. Two or three of us can get together out there on the corner, and that's church right there. Don't you know that church is not necessarily the building where the walls are, but there's church wherever people are gathered and talking about the name of Jesus and talking about following the power of God. So we got to understand when Jesus said where two or three gather that he would be in the midst, that could make a church. Some of us get caught up in the mega churches and having a whole lot of members. But I found out that a whole lot of folk bring a whole lot of changes. Some of the things that some folk bring in, you don't want that mess in your church. But you can't tell who to come in and who can't come in. This is a house of God where everybody is welcome. Everybody ought to be welcome. Jesus said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The church ought to be a place where you can get some help. The church ought to be a place where you can be fed the word of God. And after being fed the word of God, then you have an obligation to tell somebody else the good news. Walking around like it's somebody else's job. But you got to understand that you got a job too. We have a sole purpose of teaching biblical truths and letting the people of God know exactly who God really is. To let us know that there got to be an outreach. You can't serve God all the time behind these four walls. If the only time you feel like you're in church is when you're in here, you got some problems. Because I thank God that even at my house sometimes, I can have church. Anybody ever have church in their automobile? Anybody ever have church even in the park? Anybody ever have church? You wasn't even thinking about God and all of a sudden he just dropped in your spirit. We got some folk talking the talk, but they don't know the walk. Talking about the Lord's spirit told me this and the Lord's spirit told me that. But you got to know the spirit and then try the spirit by the spirit. Folk using God to tell you what they want to tell you. You got something to say to me? You ain't got to use God. Just be man or woman enough to say what you got to say. Knocking on my door talking about the Lord told me to tell you. You ought to have more contact with God that he don't got to go through that many changes to get to you. Anybody in here got a direct contact with God? Anybody in here know that they don't need me to talk to God? You better know. I wasn't at your house this morning, but I believe somebody in here was talking to God. Do you think he heard you? How many times have you called on God and you wasn't in the house of God, but you felt the power of God? Hallelujah! I'm so glad that I can feel God's power outside these walls. That's why we got folk that be talking about for a form of fashion. Because a form of fashion, when you're just doing it just to be seen. You done seen me before. The church. Place where we have public worship. Where Christians are regarded as a single spiritual body. Now this is where it gets deep. Because we have a problem coming together. God has given all of us a mind and we all got opinions and we all got some degree of intellect. But nobody in here know everything. As well as you give advice, you ought to be able to receive and take advice. Then you got to understand the source of the advice. First of all, it needs to come from the Holy Writ. Because if it comes from the Word of God, it'll find you where you're at. Too many of us are looking for things that we really don't need to find out about. All we need to know is that there's a God that has a compassionate, forgiving spirit that can wash away all the mess that you ever done in your life. And that God allows you to come to the place called the church house, where Paul teaches that we are many members, but yet one body in Christ. We are all uniquely made and given special gifts by God. And as believers, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, living in a world where we all have trials and tribulations. None of us are exempt from the pressures of the world. But we got to understand that we can't get it in our mind that we're going to live in an island all by ourselves. There's some folk that believe I don't need nobody and I don't want nobody in my life. But I found out that we got to trust the power of God. Now, if the Bible declared that we are many members, but yet one body in Christ, then we got to know that in order to have a one spirit, in order for us to get like the children of God, when they began to start the church, they all got on one accord. And what happened was that they sold all of their possessions. And after everything was sold, they gave to everybody that had a need. That was the way that the church was represented. Everybody put in, and then everybody got equal amounts out. But we have grown to be a selfish, independent, overly proud people. We look out for me, myself, And I might look out for some of my children. That's where we are. But that is not what God intended. We find every excuse why we cannot go to church. If it's not the preacher, it's somebody else in the church. Well, they got hypocrites down there. How you know? Just because you think that somebody is one way, that don't make them be that way. Don't let other folk dictate to you who you are and what you are and what you got down on the inside. Now, you can be honest with yourself that I'm a sinner. I've fallen short of the glory of God, and I don't do everything just right. But I know that I am still a child of the mighty King. So because I'm a child of the King, when I get weak, I need some help. And I got to get my help from the right source. So I'm going to the church. Some of us. Here our loved one said, I don't need to go to church. I have church on the television. Well, I listen to some of the biblical teachings on television. And that's good to feed you every now and again. But now, I have even felt the power of God. But it didn't come from the television. It came from hearing the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God, whether it come from the television, the radio, from your neighbor, from your child, if you hear what thus said the Lord and be obedient to what God says, then you will see some differences in your life. as we celebrate 80 years in this church anniversary, whole lot of us been shouting, sitting down, going home, doing nothing, acting like a fool. It's time to stop that mess. Get it right. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is talking to us, the church. God is talking to us through your pastor, John Kay. So, he's talking to Fowles Chapel right now. Fowles Chapel, we need to hold our faith. Now, the Bible declares without wavering. Wavering means that you got a little doubt somewhere. Wavering means when you say, I think that I'm saved. You ought to know that you're saved. Wavering is when you say, I believe or I hope the Lord will make a way. When you walk by faith, you say, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. The old saints that sat in that corner, ha, hallelujah, Jesus. They didn't tell us what they thought, but they showed us what they knew. They knew that if I run this wicked race, if I hold up the bloodstained banner, if I trust the power of God, if I forsake not the assembly of myself to come to the house of God, then I will be blessed from on high. The Bible declares in the manner of some is that we got to exhort one another. That means to encourage. Encourage one another to do good. When we see one of our brothers or sisters fall, instead of getting on, you know, we talked about that communication last week. Instead of getting on there and telling everybody about it, go down on bended knees. Start praying to the Lord thy God and know that God will make a way out of no way. You see, there are some folk this morning that just don't want to praise the Lord our God. Some folk don't want to be a believer in the power of God. But I stopped by to tell somebody that the Lord tells us to not forsake our assembling together. In other words, we ought to keep on meeting just like this. Every time we get an opportunity, we ought to come to the house of God and let the Lord know whose side that we're on. We ought to be able to tell God, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. Anybody come in the house this morning? The praise of mighty God. Anybody know that God is on your side? I want to let you know this morning that the Lord God tells me in his word that if I trust the power of God, that everything is going to be all right. And all I got to do is just go where God tells me to go. Open up my mouth when he tells me to open up my mouth. I stop by to tell somebody that when you don't feel like coming to the house of God, don't let any excuse keep you on the outside. But you got to learn how to press your way and know that I'm going on anyhow. I got to be in the house of a mighty God. For I heard the Bible say in the name of Jesus, if I call on the name of God, anything I ask in the name of Jesus, that it shall be done. So I hear David saying now, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. For 80 long years, somebody has been praising the Lord our God. Somebody has been in this household of faith, and somebody said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Anybody come to magnify God? Anybody come to lift up the name of Jesus? Anybody come to be a child of the mighty King? Or did you just come to look at one another? Anybody come to give God praise and thanking for this another day's journey. I like what the Bible says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusts in the power of God. I want to let you know that I'm glad to be in the house one more time. I want to let you know that we got to keep on meeting just like this every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, every Tuesday at practice, every Thursday at practice, every time the doors of the church are open, we ought to be running to see what the end is going to be. Anybody come to God's house this morning looking for a blessing from on high? Anybody ask God last week, Lord, I want you to do something in my life. And God heard your humble cry, for he sits high and he looked down low. I see God right now blessing us from this side and that side. The Lord wants us to come together to have one spirit, one Bible, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one time to trust the power of God. I thank God for all that he done in my life. I thank God when I couldn't see my way, that he looked beyond our fault and saw a need to bless our soul. Anybody in here been blessed? Anybody got the power of God? I can feel the power of God moving deep down on the inside. For I heard the voice of Jesus say everything gonna be all right. I heard that the Lord God said that if I hold to his unchanging hand, that he'd make everything all right. So I stopped by to tell you this morning that we better keep on meeting just like this. Every time you get an opportunity, let's meet just like this and have joy in our heart. We ought to have a praise on our lips this morning to tell God thank you for the things that he has done. For it's not us, it's the power of a mighty God. When we look upon God, we know that he will make a difference in our lives this morning. There's something about God as we celebrate 80 years. Jesus says, do not forsake assembling yourselves together. In other words, don't take for granted the opportunities that we have to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. I am a true believer that you don't need everybody to praise him. But at the same token, every now and again, we ought to come together so that we can bind our forces. You see, when the Bible declares whole to the power and the profession of our faith, you got to individually hold on to your own faith. And then as individual believers, when we all hold on together, there's strength in unity. When we stand together, there's no weapon that can befall us. Don't you know that when you got somebody else that is praying with you, trusting with you, hoping with you, it gives you more strength and power. And then you know as a believer that you are not in it all by yourself, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of a mighty God. If we can take I out and put we, us, in, then we can encompass everybody the way that God intended. It was God's command that we assemble ourselves together to one day we can be one body in Christ. Many members from many different places, but yet one body in Christ. We got to keep on meeting like this. Nobody is going to do you like the Lord. The Bible declares that when I am weak, he makes me strong. Any believers in here this morning? How many of you have ever had situations in your life where you felt like you were so weak that you were almost ready to give up in despair? But that sweet, sweet spirit, that small, still voice spoke to your heart. It said, hold on. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I know what you're going through. And trust me, you are in my hands. And as long as you're in my hands, no man is able to pluck you out. Can we stay in the hand of a mighty God? As I hold my hands out, you're able to see them, but they're such small hands. But when you put these hands in God's hands, hallelujah, he holds the whole world in his hands. Can't he hold you? Would you like for him to hold you this morning?